Good evening, friends. Nice to sit with you again. Again, Happy New Year. It's a new year. Ninth day of the new year. It's a wonderful time to begin again. I'm so thankful for that teaching about beginning again. How supportive, you know, that is for us. So with the beginning of a new year, I wondered, you know, what could I talk about tonight? Something that maybe could help us or support us to sustain our practice during the new year. And what I usually do is go to my iBooks, and I've told you I've had lots of those, and so I browse through the iBooks, and something pops up, and sure enough, that's exactly what happened this week, and it was a book by Thich Nhat Hanh, Happiness, has a subtitle of Essential Mindfulness Practices. So, I went to the table of contents, and Thich Nhat Hanh had categorized his teachings in a variety of different way. The first one, he said breathing practices, but I'd noticed that it included telephone practice. Isn't that just Thich Nhat Hanh? Breathing practice, eating practices, physical practices. He had one called relationship and community practices. And in the list below that topic includes a hugging practice. So then there was this extended practice that include, listen to this one, lazy day practice. Don't you just love it? So how clever, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh was in pointing us toward practicing mindfulness in all of life. And really, that's where our daily practice takes us. Whether we want to go or not, it takes us into everyday life. And it was one of these extended practices that caught my attention. And it was called Talking to Your Inner Child. Where better to begin a beginning, if not exploring or reflecting our inner child? Could be the area of our lives where the suffering started. Had to start somewhere. So, since we didn't know as a child how to process our emotions, Thich Nhat Hanh said many of us have a wounded child within us. I certainly do. And we've been wounded as children. Not necessarily anyone's intention to do that or to create the wounded child, but, you know, we've all been there where we're not conscious are conscious enough in dealing with issues. But with a wounded child, Thich Nhat Hanh says it's hard for us to trust and to love and really sometimes even to open to the love that's given us. Some of us can't even accept that. So he's saying making time to go back to this wounded child. It's an important practice. But it's not easy. You know, there's this huge obstacle that many of us know that maybe we've been wounded, but it's pretty scary. You know, it's not an easy thing to do, to go back to ourselves and be with that child. And yet it's so healing. And we hold this block of pain and sorrow in us, and it's so huge and overwhelming that we didn't really know to do anything but run away from it. Or being so overwhelmed with it that, you know, we stuffed it. We didn't want to go there. So my earliest childhood wound, get ready, this is a tearjerker, was, I think it was when I was about 3 or 4 years old playing with my sister, who was probably 6 or 7. And I remember that we were at a house that wasn't the one that I grew up in and went to when I was 5 years old. But my big sister had a baby chick, and we were playing with it. And my sister went to get some water, and I began to chase it and chase it and chase it. And sure enough, I stepped on it, killed it. So I told my sister when she came back, oh, it. Now remember, I was only 3 or 4 years old. I'm 76 today. I remember saying to her, oh, it fell off the porch and landed on some glass and killed itself. You know, hurt itself. But anyway, I'm sure we were screaming and crying. And through the screen door, there was dear father in there sleeping. And of course, we woke him up crying. And so with much irritation and impatience, which was really who he always was, he picked up the dead chick and just threw it in the field. The end. Now, I reflected today, because this is not the first time I've reflected on that particular incident. Today, I mean, when I reflected on this again, this time I was surprised I had a bit of compassion for my father, who I never did like, still don't like him. He's not likable. But I'm a baby boomer. So this person, you know, was in World War II. I can't imagine, because he never talked about it, the types of death and types of things that come to us as a result of going to war. So I thought, yeah, you know, a baby chick, regardless, you know, baby chick is dead, you know. He could tell his story. He could tell us one that would be even a bigger heartbreak. So that was good. It was good that I could enable that wounded child to be compassionate, even. I think it's the adult that's compassion. I didn't know what was going on when I was 3 or 4 years old, but isn't it interesting that I'm still remembering? And Thich Nhat Hanh says, we need to go home and take care of our wounded child. I had read many years ago, Leo Buscaglia, some of you may have known him, but he's the one that taught me to nurture the wounded child, take her in my lap and nurture all the ways I know with such an incident. But Thich Nhat Hanh says we need instructions on how to do this so that the pain inside of us does not overwhelm us. And some of these we've not ever opened to. Maybe because it's too scary, or maybe we didn't know to. But Thich Nhat Hanh said the practice is the first time we go home to the wounded child, we may need one or two friends with us. And as I've nurtured this wounded child before, it was much easier telling the story today with you around, the Sangha, people I trust, people I feel safe with. And when we sit or walk or mindfully talk to this wounded child within, and remember our mindfulness is most healing. Embrace our child with the energy of mindfulness. That's Buddhist psychology. And, of course, he says to nurture it. Tell the child, I'm here. I'll take good care of you. I know that you have suffered so much. And, yeah, I've been so busy, neglectful, didn't know to bring you in. But it's a practice, of course. And one of the things that we know what happens when we practice mindfulness is that the unconscious is going to rise to the consciousness. And that's not easy. That's hard. It's a hard part. I like the peace and quiet and feeling, you know, spacious awareness. But we can't hide from ourselves. And because we have this mind and body, it's important that we get to know it in a way that maybe we've not or neglected to get to know. Why? Because this is our vehicle. Some people say the temple. This is where the process is, enables us to wake up. And so you can understand why there are teachers like Tara Brach and Jack Kornfield and others who are clinical psychologists or are people who are in the service of healing know how important it is to our practice. And so Thich Nhat Hanh says you have to talk to this child several times. And he assures us that healing can take place. And I can say, just telling the story again, there is a big lump in my throat. It was a lot easier to tell the story. Because our wounded child has been left too long. And embracing our child tenderly, we reassure her that we will never let her down again or leave her unattended. We have open hearts. We know what open hearts are. We know we felt it. We've been with it. That's who we are. So Thich Nhat Hanh says it very clearly, if you have a loving Sangha, the practice will be easier. Isn't that sweet that he would say that? Because to practice alone without the support of brothers or sisters is more difficult, as we all know. So, our New Year practice begins with maybe an intentional effort to open to any or maybe all of these past sorrows that now we know what to do with. Now's the time. And you know, Buddhist psychology theory believes our psychological state depends not so much on our particular circumstances, but more on how we relate to what life brings our way. How do we relate? How can I relate to that wounded child that is there? And to be able to acknowledge, to be able to know, to use the acronym RAIN, recognize, allow, and take it within this system, this body, and feel it, experience it directly, which is really the only place it can be directly experienced. And that nurtures us, that RAIN nurtures us back to health slowly but surely. And so mindfulness enables the unconscious to become conscious. And when this happens, we familiarize ourselves where those little stashes of frozen emotions can be known. Because they stick in our bodies. If they have not had, these emotions have not had their say, they have not been allowed to go through the mind and the body, then they're still with us. We get stuck in them. And many of them we don't even know until we start waking up and asking for the truth. So I'll end with a quote from Thich Nhat Hanh that I found in this particular book was Shift into Freedom by Locke Kelly and Adyashanti. But they quoted Thich Nhat Hanh in a chapter that says, Taking Refuge in the Sangha. Thich Nhat Hanh said, you, and somehow I sense he was speaking to the Western mind, maybe not. You, the richest person on earth, who have been going around begging for a living, stop being the destitute child. Come back and claim your heritage. We should enjoy our happiness and offer it to everyone. Let go of the stream of distress and embrace life fully in your arms. Isn't that sweet? So, so sweet. And with that, I bow to you and we'll open it up to you. Thank you.